It's time, let's go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang.
Woo-hoo!
Anthony. Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Guten Tag.
And me, Brian. But first, the week in JoJo's news.
Again?
This week in JoJo's, oh yes, because you may have heard me moan a few weeks ago.
Oh,
I couldn't
yes.
buy Stardust Crusaders on the weekly Shonen Jump app in the UK. Mm. Well, now I can.
Oh, hooray.
Can buy all of them.
You specifically or everyone in the UK?
Well, I can. I haven't checked anybody else's tablet.
Just you.
But my tablet definitely shows them there.
Because get on that, people from the UK. You know, just do it.
Merry Christmas, bro.
£4.99 a volume, so hopefully I get £90 for Christmas. So I can go and spend on all the JoJo's.
Excellent.
I think that's it. Was there any other JoJo's news I missed? There was loads of video game JoJo's news.
Just video games, things of parts that are yet to be animated, but will almost certainly will at this rate in about a decade from now. So look forward to those.
I can wait.
So let's move on with the anime we've been watching this week. And let's start with Let's Go Goku! Dragon Ball Super Episode 20.
Oh, you caved. You caved, right?
Yes, I did. I caved. It appeared in my RSS feed. I have not watched the previous 5 episodes. But as it had appeared in my RSS feed and it had Jacko's name in the title, I was like,
oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that bit. Nobody.
I had a feeling that was why you suddenly left them.
Yes. If I'd known that, I would have watched them myself. Okay.
So this was a warning from Jacko! Exclamation mark. Frieza and his 1,000 soldiers draw near. Yes. So me and Niall have watched this, and just to briefly sum it up, it is an episode where mainly two conversations take place.
Phew, I didn't watch.
The first conversation is Frieza basically being an ungrateful asshole to the people who resurrected him.
Mm-hmm.
He is a super
That's
dick.
Frieza. That's
yep.
Frieza.
That is Frieza, yes.
I mean, like, if you resurrect essentially a god of evil, then what do you think is going to happen? You think he's going to be like, oh, thanks, guys. Let me help you out. It's like, no.
He's kind of like, what took you so long?
Yeah. What were you
hell
doing?
Hell was awful.
Hell is awful. It's full of muscly fucking demons.
No, his version of hell is quite good. Because naturally, he's the embodiment of supreme villainy.
Yeah.
So hell on earth for him is being surrounded by happy little elves and like dancing teddy bears and stuff like that. Come on, Frieza, let's come on, play. Oh, like he's just like, you know, wrapped up in a kind of cocoon, I guess. He can't move. He has to like experience all this. And he's like going, no!
Is it the Frieza voice from Dragon Ball Z?
I'm pretty sure it's the same person.
Excellent.
Good.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then he's also like, he wants to get his revenge and the other guys are going insane. No, why don't you just ignore the Saiyans for now? Let's go and conquer the rest of the universe.
Let's conquer everywhere except for planet Earth, because as far as we know, they can't get off Earth.
Because they're like, you beat Majin Buu, and he just went toe-to-toe with Beerus.
Oh, he's like, oh, well, no. My old papa, King Cole, they all told me, whatever you do, son, don't ever fight Beerus or Majin Buu, so...
Yes.
For customers out there.
So, but then he decides that, hey, he's relied on his natural talent all this life. He's never done a day of training. So therefore he's going to spend 4 months training. And then he'll
that should be enough, right?
That should be enough.
Oh.
Yes.
Think he's going to do the Saitama regime?
Maybe,
that
yeah.
That'd be terrifying.
Yeah. Also, like, the guy who tried, like, just suggest, no, maybe we should go conquer the rest of the galaxy, you know, and get our numbers up, you know, okay, just let you know you're kind of back in the block, boss, and, you know, and then we'll sort out the revenge thing. And then Frieza just kneecaps him. Like, literally just, like, laser beams through his knees and through both of his arms. Fucking kneecaps him for one saying, I'm not afraid of Saiyans. This is kind of state of the army's gotten into my absence. Pitiful. We're going straight to Earth, after I finish my training, we're going to sort out these Saiyans and I'm going to show them what's what.
Oh dear.
And then 4 months later, we don't get to see the training,
damn.
Thank God. Which also means we've skipped over a lot of the training involving Whis Vegeta and Goku at this point.
I figured that's how they were going to fill it out till, is it Battle of F? Resurrection of F?
Yeah, this is right. We're in Resurrection of F.
So, okay, it's actually skipping till, that's unusual.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some in the episodes I didn't watch. There's a little bit in this episode, but it's like 4 months later, Jacko shows up on Earth with a message for Bulma. To say, Frieza's on his way with 1,000 soldiers. They'll be here any minute.
They'll be here in 1 hour.
And, his spaceship gets sunk by, Trunks and Goten.
Are they being naughty?
And
or?
There's also...
Yeah.
Two escapades, alright.
Which is kind of how he got stuck on the planet in his series as well, is that his ship got sunk and broke. And, yeah, once he learns that there's been two Saiyans on Earth and Trunks is a half Saiyan, and he's like, well, what's that order I used to have? It's like, it is, you really know if you read his comic, because he like pauses for a minute as if to say, maybe I should arrest those guys, because that's what I was originally sent to do.
What, arrest Saiyans just for being born?
No, yeah, he's originally sent to Earth to stop Goku from destroying Earth.
Oh, but Goku doesn't do that.
No. Right. Yeah. And then also he learns that one of the people who stopped Frieza before was a time traveler, and he's like, maybe I should bust him as well.
How strong is Jacko?
He's not that strong. He's got loads of gadgets, though. He's like, in his series, he's got an extinction bomb that he threatens to kill
like
everyone on Earth with.
Doraemon of Dragon Ball.
For dabbling in time travel.
Kind
of,
yeah.
He's Ultraman, basically. Okay. And there's some even smaller jokes. Yeah, jokes about that in this episode. When the kids start poking him. If you look at his costume, he's, that's not my costume, it's my skin. It's not a mask, that's my face.
It's like, you know, like, no. Oh, no, his ear fell off. Jeez, no, that's not my ear, it's like the latest tight top and rear like wireless headphones. So, get with it, kids. Also, like, as well, like, you know, Jacko comes out and saying, oh, if he's coming by, he's going to eat after two Saiyans, he's going to beam those two times. Oh, let's go, do you know who they are? Oh yeah, but one of them is Trunks. Oh, like your son Trunks right there playing around on my spaceship or messing up all the buttons in there. No. Now see, it's my son Trunks, but he came from the future in a time machine and he came back to the present day at the time and then he killed Beast and then that's kind of how it panned out right there. And Jack Dad's going, whoa, slow down, don't say that just a matter of factly.
Right. Have you seen Terminator? Okay. You know, it would take a while to explain to him. Oh dear.
But yeah, and is it the end of this episode, or is it the preview of the next episode with Bulma trying to summon Whis with a cake?
No, it's just that. It's like, he's going to be here in 1 hour! Oh god, come on, think fastball now, okay? He comes out from, it was like a homemade, like, strawberry, like, sundae parfait, and it's like, oh, Jack's like, oh, very kind of you, don't even have that. It's like, this isn't for you. It's like, well, Spinny, Whis, come to my aid, please.
Oh,
just
and
waving in the air so he'll smell it or something.
And all the other warriors are getting together as well to fight this 1,000 soldiers. And Krillin gets his hair shaved off to get himself ready.
Oh, nice.
Oh, credit. Like, I was mentioning in the meantime that Krillin over settled down to like a nice, easy job on the Satan City Police Force. So he's basically like a motorcycle cop that's going around like giving people tickets. Actually, the previous episode, he caught Bumma Speed and then gave her a ticket even though lifetime friends.
Yeah, 18's like, I'm more powerful than you. You stay here and look after my the daughter. I'll go and fight. But he manages to convince her to look after Baron instead.
Yeah. I just well, like, he's getting a phone call, the call to action, and, like, his phone's gone off. He's got a one-piece ringtone.
And well, the other thing he says, is he says something along the lines of, will I be killed by the same person?
Yeah.
Yeah, or is it like, what are the chances of being killed by the same person twice?
I mean, like, he hasn't achieved that thing yet. He would be the first in Dragon Ball to be killed by the same guy twice.
He is literally, like, you know, the guy in the team was like, he's like 1 week away from retirement. He just got called out in one last job.
he's on the police force and everything, yeah.
He's putting the uniform on, he's shaving the hair, and before you get to have a phone saying, I'll be home in time for dinner, have it ready for me. And then he's off, and he's like, even 18 years going, wow, so cool.
Oh, there's literally, and they literally brought Roshi out of retirement
to fight.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
He's of course he's gonna do.
He's saddled up on Krillin just flying into the sky.
I might have to watch this one now. It sounds pretty good.
Oh, the animation is still shocking. Don't get me wrong. Oh,
really?
Well.
Okay, let's move on to something else me and Nar watched, and that is DD, Fist of the North Star, Episode 8, Ryuken's Murder Case, / I'm Him, and Who's He? And then whatever the strawberry flavour was called this week. It was a music video.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the first half is Ryuken's been murdered, and Ryu, Rael's orphan son, obviously not an orphan in this case because Rael's not being killed. And I don't think they mentioned that he's his son either, but he has the same
pretty obvious
forehead. Shows up to solve it to Detective Conan style.
Mm-hmm.
But does a very poor job.
Well, in the end, there was no crime resolved. He just basically framed Rao and Toki for the crime. Just so you go, job well done. And the case closed by Ryu, boy detective.
And then in the second half, it's I'm Him and Who's He, which was a body swap comedy where Yuria and Ryukin's bodies were swapped. And also, Ryukin had lost his Asuka hugging pillow.
Yes, which is some sort of... Ooh, it's the young-looking idol star.
It's the daughter of the guy who wears the Stars and Stripes jacket. Ayn. So his adopted daughter from Fist of the North Star.
Is it the Fist of the North Star 2?
Could be, yeah.
I haven't seen very much of that, no.
Yes, and I think in the preview for next episode, I think he's in it. Because at the moment, in this episode, we only see her as this idol, who apparently Ryukin's a big fan of. And the brothers are not keen on. They think it's kind of disgusting that he has a hugging pillow. Also in the first episode, you also got the characters having an argument with the production staff.
Which, again, like an old, the one I watched recently was when they're trying to find the ghost and the lights keep going out because it's spooky. And it's like, oh, lights gone out. Well, let's say the animators allow time to, you know, just want to draw anything in this space of time. And they just do that again. They get like captions going. Like, you know, from the animator was going, no, everything's fine. No, this is part of the story. We're not trying to save money at all. Everyone's saying, really? Really, guys? And caption reads, actually, yeah, you guys, we are trying to save money. Tee hee hee.
I've never watched this thing, but is like Kenshiro like the least used character? you pretty mentioned everyone but him.
He is the least interesting character, which is why the first episode is the hardest, because the other brothers haven't shown up in the first episode of the second series.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I need those two to sort of play off of to be interesting and funny.
Because this version of Rao is such a tremendous idiot, who always claims he's the king of various things. In this, it's the king of being newlywed.
Yep. He's the king of the king of being a coward, which is like, you know, it's an odd thing to be a king of, especially if you're Rao. You're trying to be some kind of macho and brave. Aha! Can't be running away. I'm the king of running away.
And Toki's gag, maybe in this series, is selling people black market merchandise, whereas in the previous series, his main gag was dying. Repeatedly, or just coughing up blood.
Still doing that though as well.
He is, but he's a lot more of the black market stuff in this season.
Mm.
And then we had this music video of the boy band which Souther had put together in the last episode.
And what's it called? Never Give Up or Don't Stop Trying?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And are most of the lyrics sort of phrases from those characters?
I was more of a addition to the video really though, because like, you know, they're saying like, you know, don't give up, keep on trying, while just, showing basically just like footage now of all of their like gruesome defeats in over the course of this roster. So you're seeing Shin get punched up, you're seeing like, Yuda getting like karate chopped in both his shoulders by Rey,
Is it just the old footage, or did they reanimate?
No, they're just redoing the scenes in the
one
dialogue and stuff. But they've got poor old Shu carrying the capstone of Sutter's pyramid now, and then getting shot with arrows. But don't give up. Keep on trying.
It's a good
Is song. It?
Yeah.
Is it?
Come on, you gotta laugh at yourself.
You do. I'm not getting into this.
Absolutely doesn't appreciate this in the nostalgia. Well, disrespecting I mean, in this one.
It's just it's just not my kind of show. Humor.
What is your kind of show? Your humor is Lovely Nuko, episode 4.
It is.
This episode was called Wait. And this featured Nuko chasing a bag, Nuko waiting, and Nuko growling at a lady riding a bicycle.
Understandably so.
Oh dear. I'm having awful trouble watching
Why?
This show.
It's the most easy watching thing you could the intro's great. When that intro starts.
I mean, like, I was wincing because I was waiting for the screaming dog to happen and it just starts screaming straight away about chasing a bag. Oh my god.
Very dangerous too. That bag is over the dog's head. It could have suffocated.
That's true. Komatsu was there though. Oh dear. Him and his fat buddy. What's his buddy called? The fat rock star guy?
I don't know. Michicho or something
like
that?
I don't know. Fat guy's name.
Barry. It was Barry.
But yeah, I'm still enjoying this and I think we should definitely watch it every week. I mean, Brian said what happens in it. Already after like 7 words.
Yes. Well, I kind of like the stark existential terror of, I know, because, guy's maze going on. Hey, there's like Mooka know any tricks? And I say, no, not really tricks though, but she knows this one thing. She gets a bit of, like, kind of big tricky for dark one thing, puts it down in front. Look, Mooka, nice little treat. And she's going, ah, oh, big jerky. All right. Mooka, wait. And she waits. And you're getting
But for what reason?
Yeah. You get Mooka's internal monologue, everyone's saying, no. Komatsu-san, he would have said, you know, to wait for a good reason, but why? You know, maybe that the team's going to do something else. You know, get this dog's internal monologue and the existential terror of, like, going, what if I'm going to wait forever? What if I never get to do anything? The tail's wagons right up and it's kind of getting lower, down to this, like, dead hand, there are tears in the dog's eyes, and it's like, come on, man, give it a food. Okay, Mooka, go ahead. Okay, I can't. I can't never get
it was getting painful to watch for poor Mooka at that point. Oh, I thought that she was going to learn another trick. She does it. I mean, that's an impressive trick, but I thought they were going to like start teaching her tricks. But they didn't.
No, I think the theme is that Komatsu is a bit oblivious to things, because he's oblivious that the actual dancing after being given the treat might be a more interesting trick than making the dog wait.
Check it out, I can make my dog wait. Pretty interesting, right?
Yeah. No, I don't know, it is pretty impressive. It's very well disciplined. So the next bit, do you know, have you, because I didn't watch the episode where the girl first gets introduced.
Well, they cut it right open up and, you know, you're the one who came to the glass shop. And yeah, I just got lost when I got to find another place. And like, yeah, and like, you know, and you did the thing. And then Mook was like, and you're the one who maybe go hungry for hours. Grr. So all caught up there. It's like the dialogue that kind of dropped during the episode of Every Soap Opera. Just for people.
Yeah, it just
right
catches
now.
It right up.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying I was confused.
I'm lovely Mook.
I was on board. I was on the right track. I think it's a little bit of jealousy there as well with Mooka, because obviously, you know.
Yes.
So cute. Mm. What's not to like about you? You're watching DD bloody Fist of the North Star.
Hey, DD Fist of the North Star isn't well animated, but it's
is
well
it?
Animated.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, most things are, dude.
And I still think Komatsu grabbing Mooka's snout is the most cruel thing you can see. Because it makes a horrible sound.
Even more cruel than things happening in episode 8 of One Punch Man.
You think?
I don't know. Do you? You're the one who says it's the most cruel thing
I
you
agree.
Can see.
That little dog does not deserve its snout squeezed in that way. A little tap on the nose, perhaps. But oh, I'm a good. I'd be a good. I have owned dogs, and I'm a good dog owner. So
let's get on to the cruelty of the sea. And the Deep Sea King in One Punch Man episode 8. Who wants to give us a synopsis of that? I need to save my synopsis power for Concrete Revolution.
Go on, Dwayne.
All right. Yes. Where do we start? I guess it just opens up and there's a big octopus man wearing a thong, threatening to eat people. Well, they're all wearing like somewhere.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But, a banana hammock. I don't know the proper words, but, and we're kind of seeing, oh crap. What's his name? Mugen Rider?
Moomin Rider.
Sorry. Cycling his way quickly to the scene. It's like, I gotta stop this thing. And by the time he gets there, it's just the legs and spine. Because Saitama happened to be going home that way. It's very lucky he happens to come across this stuff. He's reading up message boards. I freaking love that bicycle guy in this episode. He's hilariously ineffectual.
He's got a heart, goddammit.
he does. I'll give him that, but, oh gosh, I've never seen him be effective. But yeah, he's reading message boards where it's like, yeah, this is Class C guy. Apparently he can defeat guys in one punch and he's only Class C. That's kind of weird, you know, and he's like, who is this guy? I must look this dude up. But, meanwhile,
Stinger.
Stinger is,
the guys are at home, like, you know, the news is on, and it's like, you know, mysterious monsters saving from clan of seed folk have emerged from the ocean to wage havoc on land, and James is kind of going, Sensei,
wasn't he called like a sea folk? Yeah, it's like, I wasn't really paying attention, I just sort of punched him into oblivion. I don't really listen to what they say.
Nevertheless, we should probably get down there and sort those guys out. Let's go.
Yeah, so they take off, I love their super speed running just through town.
It's like, Jesus is kind of doing a cool guy, and then Saitama was just kind of just plodding along, but it's still keeping pace. With
yeah. And it's nice as well, because there's a lot of them, and it's, I don't know, I guess for lack of a better term, realistic. They're just running around town going like, where's the crisis happening? Because everyone's evacuated.
They're running to another city, because they're in
City J, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not exactly sure where it's going on in City J. They probably don't know their way around either, so so far away. But initially they think it's just the class tiger.
Oh yeah, we get
the guy with the beans, not the bean sprouts.
Class A hero.
Because I was like, what? Is that a pine cone on the end of his stick? I couldn't tell what it was for a second. But he's using a bamboo shoot to cut through giant squid man monsters.
He's pretty good, to be honest. Yeah.
He's pretty cool. It's a weird costume of black bandages, but, you know, he seems pretty cool. He's taking a lot of hits, and he manages to take out the last few of them, because he apparently was holding himself back while there was still civilians about. But then the Sea King comes up. Yeah, he's reminding me a bit of a Perfect Cell, you know, with the eye makeup and everything. And the white face,
crown,
I guess.
And the cape. And the,
and the fabulous crown and cape. And the speedos. Yeah. But, so he gets taken out by the Deep Sea King, and you have, I think it's the second time we've seen him.
You've seen Lightning Genji. This is Lightning Max.
Oh, sorry, I'm mixing him up.
Different guy.
We see him kind of like sat up on top of the building. It's like, oh, this guy looks pretty tough. Should I like wait for backup? I mean, like he's on his own. Maybe I could take him out kind of thing. But your man just sort of moves so fast. Sea King appears up behind him and he's like, hey, I'll totally fight you. And I was like, okay, I'm going to run the first chance. I punches him through building. I liked his powers of like, I don't know, jets in his sneakers. That's kind of cool. Didn't seem very useful, but no. You know,
it's like he's got like gunpowder charges in his kicks to make him like kick faster or.
Yeah. So you can do like a spin kick with like little jets.
Explosion kick
in his foot.
Or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Makes him kick harder. But, he gets taken out pretty easy. Unbeknownst to him, like it goes tiger, dragon,
god,
demon,
yeah.
God, right?
No, tiger, demon, dragon, god.
Oh, I thought they actually skipped the way up. But the threat has been upgraded to, demon. So all the Class C guys Class C. I don't know if there's anything lower than Class C. They're all evacuating to the shelters. But Mugen Rider's still going out there, still giving it his all, slowly cycling around, obeying the rules of the road, stopping at traffic lights.
It's like, God damn it, what time I could call a red line? Oh, God, it's a crime scene.
Ah, that was wonderful. And also him eventually randomly meeting with Saitama and, teaming up with him. And Saitama just, I thought he was going to be sat in the handlebar or something like that. We're just kind of hanging onto him on the back of the boat.
Getting the backer from Moomin Rider.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you'll get there quicker on your own. But, also, I don't know if that's his deal. Is he like is he a prisoner based superhero? Is he just calling himself prisoner on the end of his name?
This is all done in the manga. I was so disappointed this was left. I'm not disappointed, but because it is probably a long bit that they don't need.
It might slow down the pace if it is much background.
I can understand a little bit of confusion because you're just destroying this guy into the mix right now.
And like, he's a guy you've never seen before kind of thing. Yeah.
And also Sonic is there. So it's like, what's going on here? That's probably one of the little bits that I have on those OAV bits they're making for the DVDs. So.
Right. So their prison escape or whatever that entails. What's his name again?
Puri Prisoner.
I couldn't remember the word. Puri Puri Prisoner. This huge guy who kind of looks like a shorter haired, Hugo from Street Fighter. I think he's supposed to be like the kind of macho buff, really camp gay dude.
Yeah.
And he's wearing like a ball and chain, stripy prison uniform and like a love heart jumper over his thing. It's a good look, but, he's like the lowest A class hero. And in the meantime, apparently Sonic has escaped and the same thing.
He's like an S class guy.
He's the lowest S class hero. Sorry, I got that wrong.
I guess the only thing is that he just, there's definitely locked up in prison so he can keep the peace in there. Also, he's locked up with all these like handsome hunks in prison so he can be around them all the time.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, like, if that's what you're into, then it totally makes sense if they arrest people like Sonic, right? He's pretty. But yeah, so he decides I'm going to fight this deep sea king while the sea king's just wandering around town, I guess, looking for people to murder. So he kind of like goes Super Saiyan 3 and bulges up his muscles and then rips his shirt and gets really annoyed.
Cause his boyfriend stitched him.
His boyfriend made that jumper for him. Oh my God. That is, that's all the deep sea king's fault. Clearly not his own fault for growing two sizes too big. So they trade punches and they manage to actually damage each other, which it's the first person who's actually managed to land a hit on the Deep Sea King and do some damage. But, he then goes into his angel style, which nobody has ever seen and lived to tell the tale. Basically involves him getting so big that he bursts all his clothes off and starts flexing a bunch.
Well, he also has like a magical boy transformation.
He does have a magical boy transformation, and it is fucking wonderful.
So good that it made the eye catch as well.
Yeah, exactly. That means you know it's good.
I Sonic is just standing by watching these guys to trade blows and seeing their little thing. And like,
yeah, because your man's like, I'll protect you, pretty young prisoner. Whereas Sonic is just like,
you've seen him kind of flex and it's like, you know, you see all the stuff stick out and it's like, and so, okay, I can do the angel style right now and nobody who's seen it has a little teleport and so I just go, it's probably a good time for me to leave. I'll get out of here. I'm going to get out of here.
I do not want to see any of that.
Sonic also comments that he thinks he could beat both of them.
Oh yeah, based off the first blows that they think, he's like, oh yeah, I'm way stronger than that. But it's, the Sea King actually, is considerably stronger than him. And he's like, okay, the point of doing all those pummeling blows thing is to finish your opponent off with each blow being like a killing blow. Let me show you how to do it. And then he does, you know, basically auras him for a little bit. And Sonic, that convinces Sonic to go like, okay, I guess, I'll totally fight this dude. Cause it seems to be kind of worth the challenge, but. While he's initially like dodging blows and landing blows because he's much, much faster. I do like the slow motion thing in the rain with this. Yeah. It's quite nice. The Sea King gets charged up by the rain like he's a Pokemon or something.
He's been shriveled.
I know. Yes, he sure is dehydrated.
Yeah, and he gets all
and he is hard as nails.
At one point he catches Sonic, crushes him, but it's just Sonic doing a ninja thing, I guess, because he's yep. going to, like, bones crack and break, and he's making the sound effects himself, but he's actually escaped from his clothes and is currently wandering around naked, and you get some great moments of Genos going, it's like, who's that pervert running through town? Get out of here, pervert! And Saitama going like, did you see a naked man run by now on the back of your man's bike? But, yeah, eventually the Sea King gets off and breaks into the protection dome. I didn't realize that was going to be the same dome that they actually were doing the hero trials in. That makes sense, though.
Okay.
Just use the public space.
I think it's just a general shelter thing.
It looked to be the same dome they were doing the hero trials in. So maybe each town has one, I don't know.
I imagine they're going to have a uniform design for each shelter in each town.
But also because Snake's there.
Oh, that's right, yeah. All the lower... the lower heroes kind of end up in the shelters, but he breaks into those, and I don't know who the hero is. It's his name, like something Backman.
Backman. He's kind of shit guy there who's just in there. He's like a low level C class guy. Yeah, he's just I don't know what his thing is. He says, "No, a leather jacket has all Backman written out, I think in marker." And that's
not even
deal.
Very straight. No, should have got a stencil and do that shit right.
He tries all to negotiate a surrender, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's like, we'll totally surrender. We'll give in to your man. It's like, all right, if you scream for me while I murder you all, that'll be great. Those are his only demands. So a bunch of the really crappy heroes, who I'm going to call Robot Boxer. I don't know what the other guy was.
Jet Nice Guy and Vincent's Man.
I mean, like, I knew the real names were going to be better than anything I could come up with. But yeah, himself and Snake, decide to team up. It's like, maybe between us we can take him. And it's like, you totally can't.
Jet Nice Guy is the boxer.
Yeah.
He wears sunglasses and sort of has armor and boxing gloves. And
he puts up robot arms because we see him with his arms broken. They're all of wires and shit in them.
Yeah. And Buzz Buzz Man, or he might be called Bun Bun Man as well. depending on which translation you're looking at. Described here as a muscular young man with an afro. He wears a white skin tight shirt with a kanji for fist on it.
Those guys don't last long, fun and all as they are. I do like seeing any of the random heroes, like the guys we see in the truck warning about Mudan Rider. It's like, yeah, we're all evacuating, dude.
Yeah, we've seen that before. It's D-Pad Man and some of the other guys.
Yeah. I love these background dudes. They're great. But in his haste, Saitama's decided to follow the naked dude downtown, and Mudan Rider loses his phone when he realizes he's going the wrong direction. Somehow Saitama ends up with it again. Just hears it ringing, I guess. And he answers it, and then it's clear that the Hero Association is like, hey, can you get this to, like, a real hero? It's like, oh, I'm Sonic Time of the Hero. I'll take care of this kind of... he doesn't say it, but he has that
serious
kind of...
serious look.
You know, the serious face.
Super, super serious face.
The serious face he so rarely has.
Well, that's because that's where he learned that the thing's gone up to demon, doesn't it? And it's like, oh, he just beat a class S hero.
Intrigued.
So it's like, finally, someone who might be able to put up a fight.
I think I covered most of the bases there.
Yeah, the only thing you missed is In My Mask on TV when the reporter...
Oh, that fucking asshole. Oh,
yes.
God. Yeah. His thing was like, oh, so, Mr. In My Mask, you're here to... can you tell us about this freaking demon-level threat we're having at the moment? He's like, I only talk about hero stuff when I'm doing being hero stuff. At the moment, I want to talk about my new album. And it's like,
but they're fine about it. They're like, okay.
Bitch. They're just like, oh, okay.
Well, he is
I don't care. I'll tell you what, I might have said Muko's snout grab is the worst thing, but Deep Sea King's tongue getting kind of...
Was that his tongue, or was that just an eel that
lived
inside
him? I like to think
it's his tongue. I think it was his tongue.
I'm not sure how he's still talking, or how he was talking with it coming out.
But it looks very painful when it's outstretched and Sonic like snaps his jaw shut. And just severs off the tongue. That is worse than Muko's snout grab. Just a bit.
There's a lot of sea man mutilation in this. Oh, dear. I was thinking also like again, because it reminded me of One Piece, I was thinking like, yay, fishmen. I love fishmen. But, yeah, this episode was quite enjoyable. A good few jokes, not as many, but, I was really enjoying the pace of it and the kind of build of it. Obviously, it'll end in one punch, but you know, it's nice. It's going nicely.
Yeah. It looked very well. I was trying to pick out which, cuts would be his in particular, because this was storyboarded by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, my main man.
It's so good looking, yeah.
I think there's a few spots where it begins to show the strain of being eight episodes in, particularly at the start.
Yeah, I think they're saving it for more of the animation heavy parts, you know?
Yeah.
That's my guess anyway. They appear to be budgeting the the better animation decently enough anyway, so.
It's still the best bloody show.
Yeah, very country mile.
I refuse to listen to any nonsense saying otherwise.
Well, I see it is the best show probably of its niche.
Everybody loves it. Everyone should like this, no matter what you're into.
But at the same time, I would say Mr. Osamatsu is like the best in its niche, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we are actually kind of spoiled for a choice as to what's the best. And so I don't think we'd even need, you can certainly pick a personal favorite.
No, mine's a personal favorite. There's a lot of it out there. Everyone.
You picked a favorite for all of us, I think.
But Osamatsu's good as well.
Right. Who wants to have a go at describing Osamatsu?
Gosh.
Do you want to do that?
I wish I'd bloody done One Punch Man. Me and Osamatsu were iffy. I'll give it a go, but we're iffy.
Okay, well, now you have to do it then.
I mean, I like the show.
Sounds contentious.
We're not as on board as One Punch Man, you know. Osamatsu Man. Anyway, I'm not going to go into...
Just give the gist of each episode.
Excuse me. Right, so there has been a murder in a mansion. And I believe it is Karamatsu's body. Is it Karamatsu?
Karamatsu's the guy who's dressed up as the guy from Conan in this.
Oh, no, Karamatsu.
Karamatsu's the one who's killed.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah. Did you think I said Karamatsu?
I constantly get those two names mixed up as well. Yeah, that's
the guy with the K in his name is, he's found dead.
The angry one, because he's dead body.
He is dead. He's allowed to be angry a little bit. But he's got a blade in his back. Two of the other brothers are there. Obviously not playing brothers at this point, I guess.
Yeah, one's an inspector.
What's the guy's name from Conan? The one with the moustache?
I don't know.
I can't think of what it
you mean.
Yeah. The other guy's like either a policeman or just a CSI guy.
Yeah.
Kind of gathering evidence or whatever.
Yeah, so it's Korematsu and Todomatsu.
Yeah.
And Todomatsu's in the role that Korematsu normally has of
It's kind of weird to see him be the straight man.
But he was doing last week as well. He was Totty.
That's true, and that's carried over. I fucking
know that. Because they're going to...
They keep going like, hey, what's wrong, Totty?
Well, I didn't see last week. So...
you're missing out.
You've got to get on.
I need to get on that. Well, anyway, so... These jokes are lost beyond belief on me. Anyway, so there's been a murder. There's cops there that, you know, wiping the place down. There's a guy in the background stood with like a Jason mask on. He's got like a big bloody knife and a big bloody hammer. And so you're like, this is the guy.
I mean, like, the only things to mention, he's right there. It keeps like cutting to him or having him just be
the
background.
Do you think that's Ishibatsu?
Is that the creepy one?
Because people,
I definitely
thought there, because there's only like one guy you don't really kind of
see. He's got the same eyes as well.
And also his,
even though it's,
yeah, he's the kind of like lowered eyes. Also the mansion is full of giant,
Tanukis!
Like, you know, those kind of like little Japanese, well, Tanukis and little Japanese knick-knack kind of things. Cause they have a Tanuki, they have those little, wooden dolls, but a giant one. And they have those, what do you call those lucky cats? I can't think of the name. But, it's like, why is it filled with these things?
It's Japanese, obviously.
Well, why are they so big?
Not big enough.
It's really Japanese.
And out in the middle, it cuts to the outside of the mansion. And we see, I forget which brother it is. He's dressed like Sherlock Holmes, I guess.
Calming detective.
Yes, he comes in on a, I don't even know what you call it, like a hang glider. And he's attacked by crows and he comes flying in the, into the main window into the, next to the dead body and such. And he's, it's explained this is the calming detective. He's never solved a crime, but he will calm everyone's nerves and make people feel better. And he starts basically ruining the crime scene. There's someone's name or, sorry, words spelled out in Karamatsu's blood.
In his own blood.
He's standing on it and he says, look, you stepped on stuff. And he goes, oh, and then he just scrubs it out with his foot. Then he says, but you weren't going to use that evidence anyway.
We weren't going to solve it, you guys. Come on.
And he says,
it was a mystery. No one could solve a mystery.
Especially something like that. And then he says, and I think I know the suspect is somewhere in this world. And it's still cutting back and forth to this creepy, you're like, this is the murderer.
Well, they have the long, like, you know, reaction, like, things that's going, like, no, going there by business. Dong, dong, dong. It's cutting to that guy in the corner. And it would do it for, like, a good half a minute. This is cutting around his face reacting to it.
I was wondering how long they were going to try and keep that shit up and they kept that.
This could have been for hours and hours and hours. Anyway, there's lots of stuff. They hear screams. Other people are dying. The calm detective has his pants down at one point. And at this point, everyone's starting to warm. Everyone is starting to calm down. And no matter what he does, everyone just starts laughing. And it's funny.
Because he's really inept. He's so inept at his job at solving these currently happening murders. That's just like...
The bodies, there's so many bodies, they've had to pile them up outside.
Doesn't he nearly kill one himself when he's pretending to replicate the scene with a knife?
It's like, right, let me show you how the knife went in. He stabs a police officer. You didn't have to stab him, you idiot.
But everybody just laughs.
Oh. And the guy you think is the murderer ends up on the pile of bodies as well. Turns out he's not.
And then at the end, oh, good news, everybody. The real murderer turned himself in. He felt so kind of calm, you know, the tension was kind of down there. He felt okay to come out and bring himself into us. So, good job, we solved and found the murderer.
I love it was that little old man that keeps showing up. And it's like, they just, you know, they carried him off, you know, and the thing is like, okay, don't commit crime again. And he just kind of bows. It's like, yeah, okay. I feel so calm, I'm okay with this situation.
It's like goodbye, see ya. Next to a pile of bodies, I go like two stories high.
There's lots of great stuff we've overlooked. Very good stuff.
Yes.
Mm. So
watch yourself and get all the
I can't remember if there was a one in between, because there wasn't, was there? Was just another one.
No,
so
there was. No. Just,
I'm
no,
not just a fan a of this one, block. I'll level with you. The first part of this episode, spot on. This is what I like it doing. But this next part, it's about that, the pop idol. And she's a fish. I still don't really get the joke, but she's not doing too great in the whole pop idol business. You know, I guess it's the image and it's not the image. People like it and they have this weird plan. And does anybody else want to cover it a little bit better? I just don't feel this arc. I'm sorry. I don't laugh. I don't find it funny.
I found it funny, but I didn't find it funny as the opening part. I get what you mean.
She's continuing her attempt to be a celebrity with the brother's help and a reluctant Yami's help. And so, yeah, they just try different things to make her a celebrity, which aren't being an idol.
I do like the joke at the
end.
Yeah,
I think
her reasoning for being it is not what they think.
Yes. Yeah. I like how she's equally as deplorable as nearly every character in the show so far has been made out to be.
Yeah, she fits into that tape. But I also like I think it's a pretty good joke that the weirdly fish-themed idol thing isn't working out, so everything else they try also has to be fish-themed.
I like it when she's the fish man. And she's the fish man.
She's like, bloop, 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 I am a fish man.
I wish somebody would make, like, pretend I'd never seen this series. I would love for someone to be like, right, that story in that episode, watch that. This one and this one, watch that. And I would have skipped this one.
Okay.
Well, go back and watch the first one from last week at the very least.
Was it that good?
The first part is much better, yeah.
The second part is good as well, but it might not be so much.
One story per episode is what I'll handle. and probably really enjoy.
I really like the punchline of this second half. I mean, the second part was more playing on the brothers' personalities than the first half was. The first half was more
a genre
parody, which you slot the characters into.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, still good. I'm still kind of surprised that I still like this. I'm not surprised now that I've watched it, but initially I was like, I'm not going to like this. But I do.
Is still your favorite, Brian?
Yeah, probably, but the next thing we're going to talk about is coming up close. I mean, it would be my favorite if it could keep up its production value all the way through. And it's time, of course, for Confuse Anthony Theatre to start up once more.
I'm a week behind the confusion as well. That's even worse.
As we talk. But hey, it's okay. Nothing. Well, there's a little reference to last week's episode, but nothing important. Nothing which would confuse you anymore.
Oh, fine. I'm ready. I think.
So, I've closed my tab with the name of this episode in. That was a silly thing to do. Concrete Revolutio is what we're going to be talking about. And this week's episode was called...
Let's go past the sky and the stars.
That's it. You beat me to it. And it's our Earth-chan episode. So basically it's our Astro Boy episode.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this one.
And it opens on what may be the greatest scene of the show so far, which is Amy at a bar talking to somebody. Sounds like she's on a date.
It sounds like from the shot of it, it looks like she's talking to the bartender.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it turns out she's with Uru, the tiny little Daruma /doll assistant of Kiku.
And he's just sitting on a martini glass eating olive.
How small is he? Okay.
He's tiny. Like
a Thai private eye.
Like a bald fist, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. He's small enough to hide in a teenage girl's cleavage.
That's pretty small.
Yeah, so they're talking about how... He's talking about how his job is to make Kiku into a princess. Which apparently she does by, well, it's sort of hinted at that she's stealing people's souls.
Yeah.
By putting people under some sort of mystic contract without their knowledge. Though it is Amy's words to say that she's stealing souls. He doesn't refer it to that.
He doesn't call it that because she also refers to what we find out. I was going to call her Astro Girl.
Earth-chan.
But what Earth-chan is doing is kind of similar in that helping people helps them.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily stealing their souls, but yeah, it's something where you're not doing it, for the good of, just for the good of your own heart kind of thing.
Yeah. And he's concerned that her obsession with Jiro is getting in the way of her becoming a princess. And
so
Amy
decided
to
take a demon out to the bar to talk about this.
Yeah, and Amy's not doesn't really like Kiku sort of making goo-goo eyes at her boyfriend. So apparently they're going to do something about that. We don't learn in this episode exactly what it is they're going to do. Because Earth-chan flies by, and yeah, she sort of hints that Earth-chan's in a similar situation to Kiku. And... then we learn all about Earth-chan and the problem the Bureau have got, and we're in 1967 October. And Earth-chan is this robot apparently put together by a mad scientist for fun, like the detective robot's body. And she basically sort of orbits the Earth as a satellite, specifically
Sputnik.
Yes. Picking up the heartbeats of people who are in distress and going and saving them.
It's basically if someone specifically thinks, it seems to be suggesting that if someone thinks, I need Earth-chan's help and you really mean it, she'll come down and help you.
Yes.
Which includes anyone from like, you know, fully grown adults going like, save me from this monster to a bird falling out of its nest.
Yes. And also, American weaponized kaiju being taken.
Yeah! I thought that was really nice. I was just like, it's a sad missile.
Yeah, so the Japanese, well, probably not just the Japanese public, it's the public of the world are fully on board with anything that Earth-chan does. And so they've got a problem.
Yeah, it's always considered that she does what's right and what's good.
Yes. So they don't want her to oppose the Japanese government signing on board with this DHE, is it?
I can't remember the acronym they use.
Yeah, I can't remember what it stands for. But basically, it's this treaty to protect the Earth from hostile aliens.
What treaty is this relating to in the real world?
I think it's two things. The protests we see are based on... Let me find it in my notes.
Because I was wondering if it was like nuclear proliferation and the Star Trek.
No, it was Haneda Airport. It was basically a protest to stop the Prime Minister from leaving to go to a tour of sort of Asia and America and Australia, I think, in support of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
But also in October of that year, there was I forgot to write this one down, but there's like a space treaty, which this was the year Japan signed that space treaty, sort of like...
Okay.
This is how the countries of the world are going to behave in space.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that would obviously relate to their fake world version of defending it against aliens. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're signing up to this sort of worldwide DHE program. Mm. And the other part of the story is that the Bureau have recruited this kid, teenager, I think he is at this point, called Judas.
There's a name for you.
Yes. The guy who's got his eye covered with a bandage in the opening credits and can shoot electricity out of his hands.
Mm.
And it turns out Earth-Chan's got a history with this kid. He used to be a supervillain. He used to be a henchman for a gang called the Diamond Eaters.
They're referencing... Oh, blast. What is the name? There's a few gangs like this. They're kind of like a Team Rockety looking.
Yeah, it's like the ones in Yatterman.
Yeah,
a little bit, but
a little bit. Twice. But no, I wonder if there's like an older reference.
Yeah, there probably is. Like, yeah.
If it was a Yatterman, I feel like they would have had like one fat guy and one thin guy.
Yeah. But it's evil criminal organization. All the bad guys wear like masks and stuff. Yeah. They could be like Big Fire or whatever, you know.
It could even just be like
guys.
From the Batman TV series.
Yeah. Or like one Galactica or something.
Yeah, one supervillain and identical dressed henchmen. And we also learned that superhumans doesn't just keep other people with superpowers in this. It also covers robots, people with crazy gadgets.
A woman with a laser gun?
Yes. And yeah, so it used to be the supervillain and he's had history because... They were defeated by Earth-Chan, and he promised he'd go good, but then he fell back into crime again. And so Earth-Chan considers her a liar. So, him a liar, rather. And so the question is, or dear audience, because it's never made clear, are they simply hiring him to confuse Earth-Chan?
Oh, yeah. That's entirely possible. Because everyone on Earth knows that Earth-Chan does good, and even if she like destroys a fucking factory, it's considered good because she did it for right reasons.
But
you know?
she's fucking a RoboCop. You know, she's got to obey the prime directives. Like even though it may not be the most sensible thing to do, because like we have that guy who's holding up the bank and holding passing phone saying, "I was fucking kidnapped and turned into a killer cyborg against my will. I demand like reparations." No, obviously he's a guy in the
edge. I've got a machine gun for an arm. I am Earth-Chan. You need to help me. I'm only holding this woman hostage so that the company will be forced to deal with the fact that they gave me a robot fucking gun arm. Nope. And she goes like, nope, under arrest.
Nope, you're a bad guy. Bad guys are bad. Get out of here.
It's very black and white with her. And I think they're trying to introduce that level of gray to her, which it's kind of interesting how, it's interesting how they're doing it because, Kiko, the witch girl. Yeah.
They sent her to talk to Earth-Chan.
She's accidentally like saying that, yeah, sometimes lying isn't a bad thing. Which is true, but it's confusing to a binary fucking thinking of a robot, I imagine. You know?
Yes, and she makes these magic sweets, which will make Earth-Chan dream if she eats them. But yeah, then Earth-Chan basically confronts them at this bar where superhumans can go and hang out.
I love that when it was like, hey, we can't talk about superhumans in here. And then it's like, look around, there's cartoon animals over there. there's a bulldog eating a hot dog. This is the one place where you can talk about superhumans.
It's a cannibal. Oh, God.
And yeah, so then she basically shows up to tell Judas that he's a liar. Judas is there asking if he can go and do, take part in the protests. And they're like, yes, we'll absolutely make sure. But then Jiro announces that the Bureau is fully on board for the DHE. And then the cartoon animals say, oh dear, they're going to send us to war again, which is like, I really hope they expound on that story. Because there's more.
I want to see these guys in Vietnam.
It's just like freaking, like, you know, Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and shit being in, like, those cartoons in World War II.
Yeah, but it's like, these are actual real things, so therefore they were actually sent into World War II.
So was Donald Duck a Nazi in this universe? I gotta know.
Which, I think that backs up my theory that if there is a Thunderbirds, they would actually be puppets. Rescuing people.
Come to life. Puppets, like Pinocchio.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then as they leave and as she's about to follow leaving, and that guy stands up and what does he say he's from?
Oh, shit. The guy with the mustache. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he wants
super secret super secret, like, occult, like, detective agency or something
It's a
Yeah, Strange Power Risk Management Office is where he's from. We fight paranormal activities and occultists. Yeah. And he's this guy in a trench coat with a big mustache and a scarf. And he's got three, like, triplets with him who are wearing the same colored clothes and the same colored scarves.
And yeah, he's warning Urchin and he's like, oh, don't trust that lady who gave you sweets. That's a witch. They sell their souls to the devil.
Yeah. Witches are bad. Bad guys are bad.
I know about witches because I'm a fucking expert, let me tell you.
So yeah, once again, it's like, who's he? Is he going to show up some more?
I'm wondering what he is, literally, because I'd watch a show about any one of these fucking characters.
Yeah, it's like loads of, like, there's like a couple of ninjas in there.
There's a ninja tiger in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like some Fist of the North Star goons hanging out in the back.
Yeah, there looks like a pseudo Lupin and Fujiko in there.
Yeah, yeah.
A man with no name.
It's pretty great. I would like to watch a show just about that pub that all the superheroes and cartoon animals and shit go to.
Yeah, it could be like a wacky sitcom.
Obviously, it's a cafe because the kids and who have the giant robot are in there as well.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
It's like, God damn it, giant boy detective, you can't be coming in here if you don't pay your tab now. Get out!
Oh, dear.
Yeah, begs so many questions. Mm. And then we get the protest, and Earth-chan shows up and thinks that Judas is up to something no good, but it turns out he was up to something good. He was trying to save somebody who was getting crushed by a vehicle.
And yeah, he was taking the electricity out of the van. He said he wouldn't use his powers, but he was making sure the van didn't set on fire or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just basically distracts Earth-chan long enough for the Prime Minister to leave on a plane.
Yeah, I figured that might have been what they were doing, just try and confuse her or literally distract her, because all she's doing is watching the protest. She's not getting involved when the equivalent of shots are fired, where the dude with the speaker, the loudspeaker, is like shooting musical notes at the riot police.
Oh yeah, I forgot that the protesters got superpowers as well.
Yeah, they got music-based superpowers, just like the Beatles.
Which ties in, Anthony, to last week's episode.
Yeah.
I think.
And we get a glimpse this episode of your little ghost boy on that case as well, because this is happening.
Yeah, so this must be happening simultaneously, right?
Like, meanwhile, in the other episode.
So do you think I was trying to think whether this is like a Vietnam War in space or it's a Cold War in space that they're signing on board with this treaty for.
I mean, like, it would make kind of more sense for there to be like a Cold War or like a Vietnam thing might make sense. Like, let's say Earth is at war with planet fucking Z or X or Godzilla, that kind of thing. That's no other aliens get involved in it or something.
Yeah, but the Cold War thing would also make sense because aliens being such a Cold War metaphor in
culture.
Like, imagine, like, you know, like they're trying to, like, you know, track down and recruit and, you know, keep all these super who was like kind of under their control and protection, you know, and it's like, okay, guys, we're at war with the Lizard Men of Planet X, or go, you've been drafted now into the military, you gotta go fight this war for us. It's like, we didn't sign up for this, but too bad, you were born this way, to have special abilities, so you're first in line to help us, like, fight out this threat, so off you go.
The way, I love the comparison of political allegories with, like, you know, literal things that freaking happen in history, and then combining that in combination with modern stuff. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they did a Vietnam metaphor type thing with people from the center of the earth or something, you know, because they got all of all of that good fiction to base it off. Ah, super fun.
And, oh yes, because Kiko's involved in that clash with Judas as well. And,
yeah.
But at the end, Earth-Chan's finally convinced to eat one of these sweets, and we see her dream, where she dreams she's a normal girl with a normal family whose dad is an adult Astro Boy.
I thought that was really nice. I was just like, oh, that's lovely.
But as that, I think it was on the French Toast site, also pointed out that an adult Astro Boy also looks a lot like the dad of Sally the Witch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the same kind of, like,
pointy
horn hair.
Mustache. Yeah.
Also, I noticed the two little kids kind of had more, her two, I assume, younger siblings, had Astro Boy type haircuts, but blue or some, maybe it was green. It doesn't matter.
Obviously, we finally got a glimpse of Jaguar's beast form that was mentioned on the webpage. Which
you just kind of see it in like a still where it's like, oh yeah, they totally defeated the Diamond Eaters, and then it's like a shot of him being fucking awesome. It's like, ah, I want to see that.
Oh yeah, I wonder what that was actually.
So Judas, there's a character called Judah Pater, or Judas Pater, I think, in English translation. Astro Boy, called the Man Who Returned from Mars, who was a gangster who basically had like a lightning psychic touch, which killed things. And in that story, he proposed that he and Astro should kill anyone who's preventing the world from being a better place. Obviously, Astro is not on board with this. And they have a fight at the end, and he sort of makes a baby face turn before dying. So that is where his powers and name comes from, I think.
And his relation to Earth-Chan, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And then, of course, post-credits.
Is the first time skip in this episode.
Yes.
They haven't actually done it so far.
Yeah, because I saw a review on, I can't remember where it was now, but one review said, oh, there's no time skips in this episode. I was like, oh, someone stopped during the credits. Because this is one of the best time skips.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Fucking cool. It's got Jiro and who else is breaking into the bank? Is it a guy?
Just Judas is there. He's got a fancy cyborg guy.
No, it's a robot fella.
It's the same robot. It's the combined robot from before. Yes. Okay.
Oh, Gigander 7? I know what the...
No, it's Megashin,
the male and female robot.
Yeah. Oh, fucking, Kyler.
Yeah. Judas has a sweet new fucking eye patch. That thing's awesome.
And a nice blazer as well, with lightning
bolts. In case you didn't know what his powers were.
But, yeah, then breaking into what looks like a bank vault or whatever, and then it's like, oh my god, it's clearly who they came to, what they came to rob, and it's, it's Earth-Chan.
It's like deactivated, like, form in a glass casket.
Like, isn't that the same thing that Astro Boy was revived from?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, that's what I just wanted to confirm with you. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's an Astro Boy reference too. So it's like,
she was deactivated at some point.
Now we begin to see the team that Jiro's been forming.
Yeah,
that he wanted to form in 69.
So obviously he beat Raito Ishiba in that fight from episode 3, because if the composite robot is there. He's all fine. He's fine. Then okay.
Yeah.
So like, no, is well, I need to know how it ends. But does that mean then is Ryder like out of the picture then, and will he show up again? Probably will.
Yeah, just kind of pop up like defeated but not destroyed or whatever. Mm. That seems to be the case.
Maybe he'll be on their side.
Yeah, I mean, like in the end credits sequence, like you said, he's on the opposite side of the it looks like a tram car or something, or the opposite side of the window, let's call it.
Yeah.
But he was on the opposite side from the get go. It's just he changes his look and his outlook. But he's on the opposite side to the bureau. I sound like I'm trying to talk a conspiracy theory here.
Oh, I'm sure that's probably
that's
what
the fucking thing.
There is definitely a conspiracy theory going on in this. A conspiracy, not even a theory going on in this. We know there is. There's those three old guys who've got gases inside them.
Who are gases, I think, just in human bodies.
Man, every time, the more I watch this, though, the more I want to watch it. That's a really fucking good sign. I can see why this is close to second number two, man. It's so good.
And next week it is Giganda 7 and Rainbow Knight episode.
Boy Detectives and Giant Robot. That's, that's brilliant.
No fun. Or like I do an episode each of these things, we're going to do them both at the same time.
Fantastic.
It's good fun and stuff. I was even liking this, even that little bit of the egg was just like, Urchan has those like little sweets that Kiko gave her. And, she's basically just like eating those and getting kind of lost in her own little fantasy world. She seems like kind of content in that way. I thought there was like it's nice and all, but it's not real. It's all a dream, you know? I thought kind of, sting in the tail almost, It's bittersweet, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah, that's what kind of made me sad about it. It's like, I've given you access to see something that you want but can never have. But, it's bizarre that the Bureau have actually taken Kigo's kindness. She did this out of a kindness and turned it into like a weapon essentially against Earth-chan to distract her from what they wanted. If they couldn't get her on the minister's side, they'll just distract her while he leaves so she doesn't get the protest right away and people don't take sides then,
Yes, I really think they hired Judas just to distract her.
You don't think there was any other purpose to him?
No. Question is, who knew? I don't think he knew.
No, I don't think he was involved in the plan. It's just like so people, coincidental. He's being used. Yeah.
It's too much of a coincidence that they happened to
hire him.
Sign him up. Exactly around the same week they needed to distract Earth-chan. Or, in theory, get her on their side. But they don't really get her on their side at all. They just give her something else to focus on.
I mean, like, Judas was basically like the plan B just to distract her, while the plan A was to see if we can get Kiko to distract her as well, which works in part, but not entirely get her on their side.
I do like the fact that it's a teenager is the thing that Earth-chan can't understand.
I guess that's true. Oh dear.
Yes, you can't quite understand how somebody could be telling the truth and then for that truth to turn into a lie later. That seems to be the main problem she's got with Judas.
It's an excellent version or interpretation of Astro Boy, that it's not only like the binary, like yes, no, good, bad thinking of a robot, but that, it's also like that childlike thinking that can't understand.
Yeah.
Great. They can't understand the complicated things of why people do bad things.
And it's even worse for her because she could actually read their heart. So was telling.
It's really good. She knew he was telling the truth then. He wanted to never do crime again, but it's like, who else would take him, basically? And she can't understand that. It's really interesting way to do Astro Boy. Yeah.
Rightio.
We're back next week for more of that.
And I've still not seen it.
And then the episode after that. I suspect the ninth episode is about Sazae-san, from what I've seen. Yeah, it's about a typical Japanese family who never ages.
Right, okay.
I was like, that sounds like Sazae-san, and then I looked on, like, Japanese tweeters, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm not the only person who thought that. Right, so that ends this week's episode of Let's Go. Be back here next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcast at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and Dynamite in the Brain. I forgot why our podcast was called now. DynamiteinTheBrain.com. That's what it's called. So check it out.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, you're a shame.
You're going to go and eat your pizza now, Brian?